This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. We're joined in studio by Rachel Hebert. She is the CEO and founder of STAR, Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response, with an office here in Baton Rouge on Corporate Boulevard. And she and her people who work with her help people who are victims of sexual assault. And the government shutdown is affecting STAR. How so?
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me. Well, one of the things about STAR is we've been so lucky to have a lot of federal funding, and that makes up approximately 60% of our budget each year. And as many federal grant programs work, you must first expend the funding and then receive reimbursement. And with the government shutdown, unfortunately, at this point, we're unable to get reimbursed for those expenses.
26 days and counting, and it may go on for a while. And what happens if it does go on for another month or two or more?
Well, at this point, we are contingency planning. Of course, our first priority is to ensure that survivors of sexual assault have every possible service they need that we provide. We do have some plans in place to ensure that any non-essential spending, such as travel and supplies, are not being used at this point. We're just prioritizing our staff salary so they can continue to provide the services.
And how large is your staff?
Our staff is 32. And we also have some part-time staff that assist us with our 24/7 coverage.
And for those unfamiliar, what all do you do at STAR?
Sure. So STAR actually has its roots in the Rape Crisis Center, which was established in 75 through the district attorney's office here. We rebranded as STAR in 2012, became a nonprofit, and really expanded our services for survivors. So all of our services are comprehensive and holistic. We do free services, including counseling. We have a 24/7 hotline. We meet with survivors at the hospital, and we provide free legal representation.
Your number is 877-217-5757. If you'd like to join us, Rachel Hebert is with us, the founder of STAR. And when you started this organization 7 or 8 years ago, I suspect you didn't have 32 people working with you.
We didn't. We started with two people, including myself. And when we were branching out of the DA's office, we looked at it as an opportunity to really grow the program through federal funding and through individual contributions, which we've been very successful at up until this point. Sort of the downside is when the government's closed, we're not getting those reimbursements. So right now we're really feeling the pinch and just trying to do everything we can to maintain services.
Is there a certain irony that you're funding is now being challenged, and it's under the leadership of a president who, when he was campaigning, was on tape saying that he sexually assaulted women?
Irony, yes. Terror, certainly. I think for us, it's a very scary time. This president has not been very welcoming to our issue in a lot of different ways, and certainly the government shutdown and the not passing the Violence Against Women Act before the government shutdown is another big concern of ours, which we feel is going to be remedied once the government reopens. We feel that Congress is supportive. It's always been a bipartisan issue, but it does feel really scary.
In light of what's happened over the last few years, are men getting it? Are they behaving better?
Ooh, that's a big question.
Or are your phones ringing just like did before?
Well, we've actually experienced a huge increase in demand for our services. So I think that with the Me Too movement, with people coming forward in the media, we are seeing unprecedented numbers of people coming forward. In fact, within 1 year, we saw almost a 30% increase in services with the Me Too movement, and we didn't receive any increase in funding. So we are really struggling to meet the need already.
Are there areas, though, that men just have no clue, even now, as far as how to behave, like blocking somebody's personal space, for example, or putting their hand in an inappropriate place while a photo is taken? That's one of the reasons Al Franken's no longer a U.S. senator. Are these things that still go on despite all that's happened over the last few years?
Absolutely. I think there's a pervasive misunderstanding of what sexual harassment is and even what sexual assault is. And with women coming forward and men as well, it's become a big national conversation and a dialogue about what is appropriate. And what you're seeing right now is a huge backlash. People saying, well, I'm just not going to go to lunch with women anymore. I'm not going to mentor women anymore because I don't want them to take something and be offended by it.
Well, Mike Pence, our vice president, says he will not be alone with a woman.
Right. The Mike Pence rule. That's become a very popular policy most men in leadership are adopting. Well, I would say absolutely. When we're talking with companies and talking about the Me Too movement, I think there's a real fear. Even though men aren't all perpetrators, you know, this isn't a all men do this problem. But what it is just a fear that, you know, with, you know, different things coming out. Certainly the Brett Kavanaugh hearing was a huge issue. Men thinking, well, if something I did when I was 18 is going to come back and bite me, what am I going to do? There's nothing I can say. Everything I do is inappropriate.
Were you surprised that Brett Kavanaugh was confirmed?
Was I surprised? No. Was I disappointed? Yes. I think it was certainly a pivotal moment for what we're seeing right now. And women and men are really suffering because now there's this fear that people won't be believed when they come forward.
Well, both of our U.S. senators, John Neely Kennedy and William Morgan Cassidy, gave full-throated support to Brett Kavanaugh, and in doing so, more or less said they didn't believe his accuser. Is that unfortunate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the biggest fear of survivors is that when they come forward, they won't be believed.
And recently, the president has ridiculed Christine Blasey Ford.
Yes, he did.
And yet, there doesn't seem to be any repercussions with his base. Now, his base is around 41%. That's where he is in the real politics, real clear politics survey. But 2 out of 5 people in the country are with him, it appears, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And any information to the contrary appears to be unable to change that. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that most people are confused. You know, there's this misunderstanding of what the issue is, and I think that it's almost comforting to go with something you've been knowing than to challenge what you've thought before. And I think that sexual assault is definitely an issue that has remained hidden. People have been silent about it for so many years that I think the collective consciousness is thinking, well, they all must be lying because this isn't my reality.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on the air with Rachel Hebert.
Morning. I just have to say that whole Kavanaugh thing was a whitewash. There was no way that they were going to investigate or talk to the witnesses that could have, you know, come at the truth. But there's a huge backlash coming, and this is going to cost a lot of people their jobs.
All right. Your response. Thank you, Phil. Rachel.
I definitely agree. I think it was for show. You know, I think people felt like they had to appear to investigate Kavanaugh, but there really was not a lot done. And there was huge campaigns to poke holes in Dr. Ford's testimony, in her story, even though this is something that has been plaguing her for many years.
Are most men perpetrators, or is this a distinct minority?
Most men are absolutely not perpetrators, and it's a very small majority. I think that, you know, you can categorize things into 3 ways, and someone said this to me, and I thought it was great. You're either clueless, creepy, or criminal.
Clueless, creepy, or criminal.
Yes, and of course, the people we're talking about here are criminal. But I do think men are clueless at times about the issue because it's a very uncomfortable issue. And certainly we don't have a good illustration of how to talk about this issue on a very wide scale manner. Anytime we do talk about it, it's either I believe her or I don't believe her.
Well, we thank you for joining us. And for those who'd like more information about your group that you started 7 years ago, Sexual Trauma Awareness and Response, STAR, how can they find out more, Rachel?
You can visit us online at star.ngo, and we also have a 24/7 hotline at 1-855-435-STAR.
We look forward to a return appearance very soon.
Thank you,
Jim. What you do.
Appreciate it.
And today is the 16th day of January, the 76th birthday of singer Ronnie Millsap, frequently a performer in Louisiana, one of the best-known country music stars in the world, a blind man who is an amazing musician as well. He was born in Robinsonville, North Carolina, on this date in 1943. And Matt Doyle, you have perhaps his most famous song, a piece of music I think a lot of people will relate to and remember. Ronnie Lee Millsap, birthday number 76 today.